ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
Live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Kyle Simmons coming up in just a couple of minutes. Our NFL insider from Pro Football Talk. Also getting you ready for the Josh Pastner radio show. That happens at 6 o'clock right here. First one on ESPN Las Vegas. That'll be over at the Orleans at Bailiwick. I was just mentioning Justin Herbert and Madison Beer. Very attractive young lady. Charger fans are very fired up to not only go at Kelce and Swift, but I think more pointedly go at Mahomes and Brittany. They're very much enamored with the beauty of Madison Beer.
Okay, so they think their quarterback
was basically with a hotter woman.
Is with it? Okay.
My take on this is Justin Herbert's really boring, and I think he does mostly football. I've seen him this week and last week at a Lakers game, at a Dodgers World Series game. The camera comes on him. You can see him. He's like, I don't like the attention. I want him at home. So for Charger fans, I think they're misguided, getting all fired up.
Agreed.
That he's with, you know, a super hot woman. At home, bruh. Make your brisket for the offensive lineman. That is something he does. And study the playbook.
And who did
no hot women during the season. I can't believe you're with me. I figured you'd call me a sexist, and you know, how dare you suggest that a woman's dragging him down?
What, Steve? No, I need to know if my if my bet is gonna hit, if he's fully focused here, right? Or if
you're
he's
like,
just taking the next team lightly, which it is Tennessee coming up. So he's thinking this is like a bye week here. Just enjoy his time out.
Alexandra White. In this case, not on the female team, on the betting team. Let's bring in Miles Simmons. I don't know if Miles is up on this story, and it's not much of a story. I'm making it into one. Maybe they are on L.A. Sports Talk Radio. Miles, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm not that happy with Justin Herbert. That yes, he is with a very attractive young lady, Madison Beer, but he's going to a lot of games during the week at night. Bruh, it's football season, okay? There's no good time to be had. Cut it out.
Oh, it's funny that you said, like, maybe it's a thing on LA talk radio. It's not, because nobody cares about the Chargers. So, I mean, like, you know, and the Dodgers are in the World Series. So, you know, I mean, here it's like, you know, Dodgers, Lakers, then USC football, then like some distance, Rams, Kings, probably in the same tier, then some distance, Clippers,
what a slap in the
UCLA,
face. Slap.
Some more distance, a little bit more distance, and then a little more distance, and then the Chargers. So, yeah, no, nobody really cares.
All right. Well, on this show today, we're 2 hours in. We're going to hit the Raiders for the first time. I don't know what that says about us or where the Raiders are right now.
Well, I think it says more about the Raiders than you.
Yeah, we got to pick the hot topic, and I'll talk Madison Beer for another 5 minutes over what I've witnessed so far with the Raiders. But there is still plenty of season left, and there is good news. It does appear that Brock Bowers is going to play. Now, let me tell you, I expect a turnaround, at least based on the amount that Pete Carroll talks about about Brock Bowers and how much it's changed the offense. Like, how much can it help? Because it feels like their base O and what they had planned on doing all went kerplooey when Bowers went down.
I mean, yeah, I think a lot of it did. And, you know, what Bowers can do as a tight end, as both a receiver and a blocker, is really so special. I mean, we all watched what he did last year, and I mean, it's not like that offense was any good either. So, you know, I think when you look at it from that perspective, and like, what were you planning to do? How are you planning to utilize different guys? Not having Brock Bowers on the field certainly makes a difference. But I mean, it's no excuse for what the Raiders have been putting out there on the field throughout, you know, the first half of the season. It's not like Brock Bowers is going to be the magic elixir that then fixes everything. You know, every year there is a wonky result in week one. And I think this year that's going to be the Raiders beating the Patriots, right? I mean, like, the Patriots are a very good team. You know, Drake May is playing as good as any quarterback in the National Football League right now. And yet, you know, in week one, the Raiders went up there and they won. And like, that was a good win, you know, and it looks better the more the weeks go on. And yes, Brock Bowers was healthy, at least for most of that game. So it does make a difference. And, you know, I mean, you're playing the Jaguars. I've not been that impressed with the Jaguars, despite the fact that they beat the Chiefs and they have 4 wins right now. So maybe he really does, you know, get things going in the offense as he comes back, as you play the Jags. But, like, I don't know. I'm surprised that a Pete Carroll team has been this bad, flat bad, right? But I don't know that Brock Bowers is going to make everything that much better immediately.
Let's go into some of these injuries here, Miles. It's been pretty crazy, especially from the quarterback position. And now Joe Flacco could be out, AC joint sprain, and now they got to go back to Browning. But still, I mean, do you think the Bears should be the favorite here between these two, the Bears and the Bengals coming up this week?
Oh, man. I mean, if Joe Flacco's healthy and he can just, you know, hit Ja'Marr Chase a billion times as he seems like he wants to do, which, I mean, makes a lot of sense when your quarterback is, when you got a quarterback who's as old as Joe Flacco and a wide receiver as talented as Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, I think that that helps the Bengals in that way. But the Bears aren't bad. They're just not good. Like, they're very mediocre. And, you know, I still don't really quite know what to make of Caleb Williams yet. And we might not know for another, you know, calendar year. You know, once you get midway through his third season, and it'll be his second season under Ben Johnson at that point, presumably, barring anything, you know, super, super crazy. I think we'll know more about him. But I've not really been impressed with the way the Bears have played. I mean, they look like a competent team in some ways, but in others, I mean, Caleb Williams is just obviously not there yet. So it does kind of depend on whether or not Joe Flacco is going to be out there, whether or not you think that the Bengals are going to win this thing or not. I mean, they're so talented at receiver. It's weird that Jake Browning has regressed so much from a couple of years ago when he came in and did a decent job filling in for Joe Burrow. I'm not really sure what to make of that aspect of it, but the Bengals defense is also so bad that who knows, you know, Caleb Williams might look like Joe Montana this week.
What do you make of the Washington Commanders right now? I mean, clearly they have really missed Jaden Daniels, and Marcus Mariota held them in that game first half, but then the Chiefs blew them away second half, and now they're third right now in the NFC East.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in their defense, I think, more than anything else. And, you know, we were taking a look at PFT at Von Miller's snap count and production. And when you look at his snap count, it really isn't much different than what it was with Buffalo over the last couple of years. But, and there's still some pass rush left in there. This is what older edge rushers do, right? They sort of become mercenaries and they go to different teams and they play in known passing situations and all that. But I think that they've got to get more generally out of their defense, and you can't necessarily rely on a guy like Von Miller when, you know, he's in his upper 30s. And this is a guy that was defensive rookie of the year at the beginning of the last decade. So, like, that tells you how long he's been in the league and, you know, won Super Bowl 50 with the Broncos, and that was in 2015. So we're 10 years later. So this is not necessarily somebody that's going to be elite right now. I mean, say with Bobby Wagner, right? I mean, he won Super Bowl with the Seahawks in 2013, and he's still out there and he's still productive, but, like, there's only so much you're going to get out of these older guys. And so that's part of it, right? Maybe they needed to go a little bit more younger and more athletic rather than older, wily veterans. And that would have been helpful for the production. But, you know, if Jaden Daniels can't stay healthy, then kind of none of it matters, right? Because Marcus Mariota is just not capable of leading a team for more than a week or two at a time. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, he's not a starting caliber NFL quarterback, and he hasn't been for some time. So they've got to get Daniels healthy, and it appears that he is healthy for this week, and that'll certainly be better for him. But, yeah, I mean, when you're playing Marcus Mariota, it's really tough.
Miles, I'm going to switch it to a little bit of sports betting talk here, because I had this conversation earlier with the offensive rookie of the year. Right now, Jackson Dart is the favorite, and the Giants are 2-6. He is the favorite. That's what I'm saying. I was looking at Igbuka or maybe Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren's a third favorite right now. How many wins do the Giants have, do you think, for Jackson Dart to actually win that award?
I don't think Jackson Dart should be in the conversation at all. I mean, I don't get that. Well, I mean, look at what Tyler Warren is doing for the Colts, and look at what Igbuka is doing for the Bucks. I mean, how is Jackson Dart even close to the same plane? And, you know, this is one of the things that annoys me sometimes about, like, offensive rookie of the year and how it always tends to go to a quarterback, even if the quarterback doesn't necessarily earn it. Like, look at 2019, right, where you had Josh Jacobs and also A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown helped the team make it to the postseason, right? And we instead see Kyler Murray get offensive rookie of the year, and it's like, why? This would be even worse. That's egregious to me. What has Jackson Dart done? I mean, he beat the Eagles on Thursday Night Football. So what? I don't understand that at all. I mean, I'm not obviously, you know, a sharp and whatnot, and so whatever. But I mean, it's Abuka or it's Warren. I mean, I don't understand how there can be any other argument. I mean, if you look at the way that the Colts utilize Warren on a week to week basis, he is one of the true blue, like, pillars of that offense, and he has done well since week one. If you look at Abuka, again, another guy where you've got, Mike Evans and Goodwin, and, you know, you're thinking that those guys are going to be around at least for most of the season, and now Evans is going to be out for probably most of the rest of it. Goodwin has, you know, been up and down this year with his health, and Abuka is out there, you know, schooling guys every week. So I don't understand how Jackson Dart can be a part of this conversation.
Miles Simmons is with us from Pro Football Talk on ESPN Las Vegas. Let's close on this one. I know you're watching the World Series. I can certainly tell from one of your tweets. Did you have some issues with game lag in your neighborhood with people screaming and maybe they were getting the game after you or before you?
It was a little bit funny. I mean, because, it's like, I don't know, what, 10 minutes, 5 minutes to midnight? And, you know, game three, that was the other night. And like, I'm watching it and, you know, it's cool. It's fun. I'm having a good time. And then, you know, we start getting to the 14th inning and you're like, hey, man, like, we got to go to bed. And like, I'm feeling for the people in Toronto because it's like almost 3 o'clock in the morning. And like, that's where my girlfriend's family's from. And so, you know, they're all staying up. And finally, so I went out on the balcony to have an adult moment with myself,
Puff.
Which just made it sound way worse than it really was.
That's weird.
Grass. Anyway, wow. And I'm like still looking at the TV because you can see the TV from the deck, and like, oh, all of a sudden I hear, yes, yes, woo, and I'm like, oh. That's interesting. The count here is 2-2. And then, of course, it got to a 3-2 count. And then finally, Freddie Freeman hit the home run, like, I don't know, 20 to 30 seconds later. So that was kind of funny. But, yeah, I kind of got a spoiler alert before Freddie Freeman's game winner.
Just be happy you don't live in Cleveland. As you mentioned, Toronto, because watching sports does suck, especially when they go late into the night.
Oh,
Miles,
absolutely.
Thank you West Coast so much Tennessee. For – It is. There's not even a debate. Thanks for coming on with us today. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right. Take care, guys.
If you want to bet Offensive Rookie of the Year, you can do that at William Hill. But the easiest way to do it is to sign up for the William Hill Nevada Mobile Sports account. You can earn up to a $250 bonus bet after placing your first qualifying wager. And then you can bet on the go from any iPhone, iPad, Android device, anywhere in the state of Nevada. If you have the app, you don't miss bets, right? Big wagering menu, same game parlays with awesome odds boost, early cash out, live in-play wagering on all major sports. For more information on the William Hill Nevada Mobile Sports account, visit williamhill.us.
It's Cofield and Company, live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, we're about 10 minutes away from deep diving some of the big stories, especially the coaching front in college football, with our college football insider, Michael Felder. After that is the Josh Pastner Radio Show, the debut of the Josh Pastner Radio Show at Bailiwick inside the Orleans. So come on down and see us. Matt and Everett and Curtis Terry, of course, are the hosts with Coach Pastner, and your chance to ask him questions. He wants the questions. He's already said, hey, email him if you got issues, but here's your chance. Go watch the show, support the program, and get some great food and drink at Bailiwick at the Orleans. Rebels played last night, exhibition game against Lincoln, blew them off the floor. They did a good job. They ran well in transition. They looked confident. The showcase of Tyron Jones for even less than 20 minutes, that was cool. He's a freshman. But a lot of the transfers looked really good. They rebounded the ball well. Dre Gibbs Lawhorn played like a star. I think he has potential to be somewhere around 12, 13 points per game with some explosions. He had 31 last night, But it was interesting. Josh Pastner, instead of coming out immediately and saying, hey, Gibbs Lawhorn, awesome, he got into him about some action early in the game. Fire this.
In an example is Dre. Think of the first play, first whatever, couple 30 seconds, minute in, the kid hit a three. He had no sense of urgency on guarding that shot. He went underneath the screen, hands were down. He didn't have a hair on fire mentality, sense of urgency, desperation, life or death mentality. And I just, you got to come out. You just got to sit your butt on the bench. And I told him, hey man, we don't do that here. And now because your lack of desperation, lack of hair on fire, sense of urgency, you allow that young man to hit a three, and that now gives him life, confidence, and he starts thinking, man, I can, the basket becomes bigger. And the reason Dre played the way he played, you know, I think he had 31 or something, or he had, like I said, 31 with 7 assists. It wasn't because of his offense. It was because when he sat and he went back in, he guarded at a high level. He defended. And based on his defense, he was able to really play at a high level offensively.
I think it's very important early in a program, if you want to be a defensive program and you want to use or leverage playing time as a weapon, you have to have confidence that, hey, you know what, without your lead guy, he turned out to have 31 points, that you're confident to go 5-7 minutes without him to send a message. He gets it or he doesn't, and you have to be willing to do that and maybe look poor. So Pastner clearly was willing to do it. And, you know, the opponent makes that possible because in this case it was a team that was overmatched. But, hey, Lawhorn and Al Green filling in for Miles Shea at 15 points. And check that, 15 assists and one turnover. And they both played upwards of 25-plus minutes. So good start. As I said, a lot of similarities between the kind of the attitude of Pastner and Mullen and just having fun. They're chill. They're confident. Now it's bounce back time for Dan Mullen and the Rebels. They had a really rough second half defensively against Boise State, and New Mexico is much better than it's been, although Bronco Mendenhall got them to 5 wins a year ago. Jason Eck has them playing with a different mentality.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center on ESPN Las Vegas.
Back here, Cofield and Company here on this Wednesday. We're headed towards the debut of the Josh Pastner radio show at 6 o'clock. Michael Felder is in college football expert, but man, this guy runs a home like no one else I know. He's cooking, he's baking. I'm already ready to talk about Thanksgiving prep because you do that like 3 weeks out. But this Friday, Mike does Tar Heels 24/7. You got Belichick against Fran Brown. You got Halloween. You got kids. You got trick-or-treaters. What are you going to do?
Well, I will say this. I spent all of Tuesday. I cleaned out the ovens and then I got all the laundry done. And I know I wasn't going to be home because I'm going to Atlanta for my friend's 40th birthday party. So I had to get all my stuff ready. And because I have to leave at 8:30 in the morning the day after Halloween. Halloween, we're going to a block party.
Okay.
And that's the start, Cofield. That's the start.
Well, it helps rather than if you had to go to the door every 2 minutes while you're trying to watch a football game, that doesn't work.
No. Let me give you a Halloween top secret. I take a table down to the bottom of my driveway and I have the candy there. I have a cooler there with some beers, some wine for the parents, some White Claws maybe.
What?
Yeah.
You are generous. God, you're so good at this.
I have that down there for the parents. I've got the speaker out. I'm playing some music and I sit down there. My daughter and my wife go trick-or-treating and I'm down there. I'm giving out the candy, but I also have the laptop out there to watch UNC take on Syracuse on Halloween night.
Yeah. Okay. Is it going to be a scarier night for Belichick or for Fran Brown? I got to tell you, Fran Brown, you know, my topic today is going to be the humbling of coaches who have been axed. And Fran Brown came out like a bull in a china closet. They won. He talked a lot of trash. And, yep. You know, things happen in seasons where injuries go down, competitive conference. Fran Brown's kind of been humbled a little bit here. And we know Belichick's been humbled.
Well, here's the thing. I like Fran a lot. I've never talked to Belichick ever. You know, I do ACC Media Days every year. He didn't talk to me. I didn't get to talk to him. So I talked to Fran, and I like Fran. And Fran has a saying that I really love, and I understand. The standard is the standard. And you saw it. He had his team run gassers after a win. Both of these teams are coming off long loss streaks. So somebody's going to come up on top, and that dome is wild. So I picked UNC to win when I did staff picks, but, I mean, who knows what's going to happen on Friday. That dome is it's a spooky character. Speaking of Halloween, and listen, you get—I know it's not black and I know it's not black and orange, but it's orange and navy blue. And I tell you what, a lot of times in the right light, navy blue could look black. So we'll see what this looks like for them, for the Heels specifically. But I like Fran. I think he's a good coach. I think he is just a—he's a coach who really tells it like it is. Like he's not a phony. And so that's the part that I really appreciate about him.
And that's definitely acceptable in, you know, upstate New York and a little bit of New York media coverage, no doubt. Michael Felder at In the Bleachers up on Twitter, Learfield, Hand in the Dirt podcast. Okay, let's talk about humbling. I don't know if it's going to happen immediately, but Brian Kelly has gone at LSU. I think it's really stupid. I'm consistent on that. I'm just consistent on getting rid of these guys midseason is dumb. Well, the stupid part is these buyouts. And there's got to be a price to be paid for that one. So give me your reaction to Brian Kelly. And I don't need to hear about his fake accent or any of this other stuff. Can the guy coach football or not?
I don't think he can. And I don't think he can coach football the way that it needs to be coached now, to be more specific. And if we're going to go into football specifics, let's look at what he's done. He got to Notre Dame. They had what? Tommy Rees, correct? Then they had Brandon Wimbush, right? Deshaun Kizer. None of those guys got better. Their best year was their first year. Okay, so we do that. He gets gifted Jaden Daniels. He didn't make him better. Jaden Daniels was already created.
I don't know, man. I thought he took a step up. I watched him in Arizona State. I thought he's pretty good, especially with the legs. I thought he got better at LSU. No?
I don't think he got better at LSU.
Wow.
But, I mean, listen, we're all entitled to our own opinion. I don't think he got better. I think he was able to have better pieces around him that allowed him to – I mean, the way he got tossed around at LSU, playing against better opponents, that was wild. I was like, yeah, this guy, I don't know if he's going to live through this. But you're watching, I mean, Garrett Nussmeier, he hasn't seemed to improve much. And I thought he was going to be quarterback like 2B, right?
Yeah.
So I think that he is a coach that can get you, like, he can get you so close to the finish line. But once the finish line becomes a national championship, I think that Brian Kelly is not the answer for you.
Okay.
LSU's realized that. And they're like, we got to part ways because even the dumbest guy in the world, Ed Orgeron, figured out a way to help us win a national championship.
Wow. No offense to Ed O.
No offense at all. Yeah. Like Ed Orgeron is a great recruiter. He's a great defensive line coach. Ed Orgeron is a great defensive line coach. He's a great teacher. He's not a great strategist, but he can get you across that line. Brian Kelly can't get you across that line.
Wow. Okay, what I'm seeing with Brian Kelly, though, a lot of it is this character assassination. And what I'm looking forward to is what his next stop may be. Will schools look at this and go, hey, this guy's a terrible guy? We're hearing all over the place. He's a terrible guy. Is he not deserving of any job because he'll go in somewhere and just be a jerk and not be an easy guy to work with?
I don't think he's going to be an easy guy to work with. He wants to bring his – I mean, he's doing the same thing that Belichick did, right? He's bringing in his own team, his own guys, all of his own stuff. I mean, you saw – I don't know if you saw, but the Tommy Moffitt stuff, guy who's been a strength coach at LSU for, you know, two decades, and all of a sudden you want to bring your own guy in, and it's like, okay, I mean, go for it. But A&M whooped your behind, put up almost 50, one under 50 for you. So I think that there's this idea, and I am tying Brian Kelly and Bill Belichick together because there's this idea of absolute control. And it's really hard. This is a hard job. And if you don't trust anybody except yourself, you have, like, the circle is so small. Instead of having people that you put faith in and you rely on and you show them the way that things should be done. And I think that's the biggest part for me, is if you don't have people that you trust, or build a circle of trust with people that are already there that the kids trust, or that the people in the building trust. If you can't build trust with them, and you need to bring in a clean house, that's really hard. Like, that's not, I don't know. I'm literally working on something right now. I wrote something yesterday about how do you build culture. But if the kids, the staff, and the people in the building don't trust you, don't believe in you, what did I wrote, listen, if you don't get buy-in, that's how you end up with a buyout.
That's a good line. That's a real good line. Michael Felder on ESPN Las Vegas. Okay, with all these dudes, so now you got all these high-profile coaches out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use the local example here. I cover UNLV, Dan Mullen had time off, and Josh Pastner had time off. Their attitude is great. They're easy to work with. I think they got a new perspective being away from the game for a while. Does a guy like Kelly, more importantly, because he's getting slaughtered, so I think he's going to need a recovery year to rebound his reputation. But do guys like James Franklin, is it good to take a year off before jumping right into things? Or are the opportunities too good, Mike, to pass up on for some of these big-name coaches if they can just move laterally to another mega job?
Well, that's the thing, Frank. Like, let me ask you something, Cofield. If somebody gave you $50 million, what are you doing? You still doing this show?
I'm not the right person to ask. I would still do something, but what I do doesn't have the pressure of a college football coach. If I were a college football coach and I just went through this and I have $50 million, I'm taking at least a year off.
At least a year off.
At least. I mean, I think Jimbo Fisher's coming back too, but like I might do Jimbo and stay out for a while.
Yeah. Take your time. Relax. Like, you've spent so many years going from a grad assistant to a position coach, going to an offensive coordinator, to another offensive coordinator, to another offensive coordinator, to finally getting your shot as a head coach. And then you get your big job as at one of these marquee schools, whether it's, as you mentioned, Jimbo Fisher, it's Florida State, or James Franklin, it goes from Vandy all the way to Penn State. Like, we're talking, Brian Kelly's had two of the marquee jobs in college football. Take a break, and you get, what are they giving him, $53 million? Take a break.
Yeah.
Just relax, dude. Stop. And I think relaxing helps you realize something too. Like, spend some time with your family. Like, I don't mean to sound, I'm not trying to sound like old man Felder right now, but but if I had the money and the time to just spend time with my family, that would be amazing. Especially with these guys who have, like, they're getting ready to have grandkids. Spend some time with them.
Yeah.
Relax. Relax. And then if the bug bites a little bit, I'd take a smaller job where I feel like I'm actually helping people.
Yep.
That's me. But these guys, like, it's the glory, you know what I mean? It's the, like, they want to, it's this hunger for them. And I don't know if you listen to Florence and the Machine, but I do. And I love, she has a song called The Hunger, or Hunger, excuse me, not The. And these guys all have this, like, hunger for this glory. We all have a hunger. And the reality is, I don't get it. Like, I truly don't understand it. And I think maybe it's because I've gotten older and I've realized how much I've pulled back on work and pushed more into things with my daughter. I'm like, that should be like priority one. But that for them, I don't know. I'm frustrated because it's also based on between the transfer portal. I'm getting really mad. I'm getting mad now because between the portal and NIL, they don't get to pour into these kids the way that a coach, which, by the way, coach, aka, they should be teachers.
Teacher, yep.
the way they don't pour into these kids the same way, these kids are a means to an ends, and that's not the way it should be. But Brian Kelly should take a break. Take a break. He should go. You know what he? You know what Brian Kelly should do? He should go back and look at himself on the camera feeds from the actual games and see what it looks like on tape. Mm-hmm. He should take a look at that and be like, oh, that's not the man that I want to be. If it's the man you want to be, that's fine. But if I saw myself like that, talking to essential young adults, that's not the way that I want to see myself.
Michael Felder, our college football insider here on a Wednesday. We're going to be talking college basketball for an hour after 6 o'clock with the debut of the Josh Pastner Show here on this Wednesday at the Orleans at Bailiwick. Okay, let's bang out some games here. Clemson and Duke. We know Dabo Sweeney's kind of feeling it. He's frustrated. Listen, this is not going to save the season. First of all, what happens in this game? And secondly, do you think Dabo's looking around going, you know what, Clemson and Clemson fans, I'm going to toy with some of these other big jobs. How about that? How about that? Is he that kind of guy?
No. They gave him a shot when no one else would have ever bet on him, and he ain't going nowhere.
Okay.
He's going to, they're going to have to run him out the building. They're going to have to, they might have to help him pack up because he ain't going nowhere. They gave him a shot when he was a wide receivers coach to be the interim, and then they gave him the head coaching job, and he is forever grateful. He has, and I know you guys are in Vegas, but the big thing is he has the South. Like, he knows the South. This is a guy that went to Alabama. They go to church every Sunday. Do you know that? Like, that's, bro, if you thought you were good, Michael Felder out the bed on Sunday morning to go to church when I was in college, no, sir. No, sir. Not happening. So he's going to be there. Either let him go or you don't. But he is, look, you have a down year. They had a lot of down years. And they've had more up years under Dabo than they've had down years. But Mensa, I really like Mensa, and we'll see what happens. I think they get the win. I think the number is good. What is it, 3? Is that right?
It's 3, yeah.
I think they cover. I think they push it. I think this team is good. They just need to find a way to, like, if they can find a way to continue to push Randall and continue to push the ball down the field to Wesco and Williams, they're going to be fine.
A lot going on around Texas and a lot of good things going on. I mean, the vibes at Vandy versus Texas, it's just completely different. And, you know, Clark Lee, anything they do is going to be appreciated. Vandy's favored. You got Arch on the other side in concussion protocol. You got Sark all mad at Diana Rossini because my guess is that Sark's people did reach out to some NFL people about getting leverage and maybe going to the NFL. So there's I don't feel a good vibe on the Texas side, and on Vandy, they're sky high.
Can I just tell you this? I had dinner next to Diana when we were working together for Facebook. So she's a very nice lady. So I don't like that. So give me Vandy.
Yeah.
I'll take Vandy. I think that Diego Pavia, and I'll say this, they have imported parts of this wing T offense where when you look left, the ball's coming back right. And then when you look left, the ball's going to still go left, but it's going to be a pass down the field. And they're doing a really good job of that. They've created, and I was talking to a friend of mine, the wing T is an offense that most of these kids have never seen. Most of the players playing now were born, these are like post 9/11 players. These are guys that were born in like, what is it, 2025? These guys were, oh my gosh.
We're old.
Yeah. These guys have never seen this offense before. Fisher DeBerry from Air Force, right? Like, they've never seen this before. And so it's all new to them. And you see coaches who are our age, right? You see coaches who are in their 50s. And they're like, no, what are you doing? And the player's like, I don't know what happened. And I think Vandy embracing that, Clark Lee embracing that, is a really good thing.
Let's hit some of the really good stories around college football, and that involves Houston and Cincinnati. They're both 7-1. I mean, they can make the CFP if they finish out with one loss, and certainly they can get the auto bid of the Big 12. Cincinnati this week, amazingly, 7-1, getting 9.5 against a surging Utah team who looks kind of set at quarterback no matter what happens. And then Willie Fritz and Houston expected to roll over West Virginia. They're laying 13.5. Good stories in Cincinnati and Houston.
Yeah, I think Fritz is going to be fine. I think Houston's going to be fine. I think they're going to take care of it, a business. This Cincinnati-Utah game is, right? It's very interesting because, I mean, what Utah did to Colorado, that did feel almost criminal, right?
Yeah.
Like, that, I mean, they, that's like when you like, that's like old school. We don't do this now in parenting, just for the record. Nobody does this anymore. But that's like getting your pants pulled down and bent over the knee and spanked. And Cincy has just slowly, just like, not even slowly, but like paced themselves all the way through that conference. And so this is in terms of the Big 12, this is two juggernauts on, this is juggernaut and juggernaut. So we're going to see what happens. What do you think happens?
You're talking Long Range or just this weekend?
Just this weekend, Cincy in Utah.
I think Utah is going to get rolled. Whittingham does not get enough attention nationally, man. They play, we'll call it the West Coast because they were Mountain West at one point. They were Pac-12 at one point. And the West Coast gets branded as this soft brand of football. Utah is. They grind, man. They beat the freak out of you. And I think Cincinnati's done a really good job. But I think Utah has a chance to be the class of that conference. I wanted to ask you about Georgia Tech, because let's do our weekly Heisman check-in here, because I have the odds in front of me. And
I got him.
Haynes King is a guy that we've talked about every week, and he's got to be in the mix. And right now, he's moved up. He was 50-1 a couple of weeks ago. Now he's 20-1. I like that Gunnar Stockton is at 15-1. I wish I bet him at whatever he was, 75-1. But Georgia Tech has a good one this weekend, laying 6 at NC State. And then, looking ahead, they can't look ahead, but, I mean, they have a chance to go into that Georgia game unbeaten.
Did you see the Josh Jolie play for NC State? So they will be without one of their best pass catchers. Some people call him a tight end. Some people call him a wide receiver. He tore something, but he still scored a touchdown. But he limped into the end zone, and they had to carry him off the field. So NC State's going to be missing a major. Georgia Tech's going to win that game. So for folks that don't know, and I understand you guys are out on the West Coast, Georgia Tech will win this game.
Ooh. Ooh. All right. Bold prediction.
Yeah. But also for Georgia Tech, Haynes King, the only thing I worry about is him staying healthy.
Yeah.
Stay healthy, man. He's so good. But to go back to the Jolie point, Haynes King fits in that same world for me as a guy who cares so much about his team that he will do whatever it takes to get them across the finish line. This guy plays hurt. This guy played the last few games of last season where he couldn't throw the ball more than 5-6 yards. Like, he loves leading this team, and I think that's what we're going to get.
Can I address one last thing? And,
yes, sir.
And Michael Felder's with us, ESPN Las Vegas, here on this Wednesday. Josh Pastner radio show is coming up here at 6 o'clock. I see so many times we concentrate on coaches and storylines and, negative stuff with the transfer portal and NIL, and we never talk about the kids. You played college football, so I want a college football player's mindset on this. I heard someone yesterday say, well, Penn State's got nothing to play for against Ohio State. What do you mean they have nothing to play for? There's still players on that team that want to play hard. They don't know what their future is. It might be at Penn State. It might be somewhere else. They can still make a bowl game. There's still fight. There's still pride. You don't practice the whole freaking season, and then your coach gets fired and your quarterback goes down. You're just like, screw it. There's backups who want to play. I don't understand how we forget about the players themselves on the field and the effort it takes in a season and a career.
So I think there's even like when I played at UNC from 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006. So that's 4 seasons. We practice hard every day. I wasn't even getting in the game, and I practiced hard. That's the ridiculous part.
If you're on the scout team, you better practice hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, especially on offense, you better practice hard.
Yeah, if you're on scout team offense, bro, because they're going to smoke you. But no, the reality for me is, especially now, you think this team's not going to try? You think these players aren't individually going to try? You have the transfer portal. You have NIL. But at the end of the day, there's also pride. And I feel like Cool Runnings right now, right? Like, I see pride. I see power. I see a badass butter that don't, you know what I'm saying? Like these guys are still playing for that. And it does matter. Like, you don't want to go out and get embarrassed. And they do want to go to a bowl game. And just so you know, you think there's nothing there. I can tell you what. You go get that bowl gift, baby. You go get that bowl per diem. Like, yep. Even at the bare minimum, if you just look at the per diem, the money, and experience in a city you've never been to. Like, my bowl game, you know what my bowl game was, Cofield?
What was
it? We went to one in 4 years. One. It was in my hometown.
Nah. You still made a good time of it, though.
Oh, yeah.
I remember you talking about it. Hell, Penn State in the Big Ten, the middle of the Big Ten, you get to go to Vegas. You get to go to the Las Vegas Bowl.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's fantastic.
That's a good time.
So let's go and do that.
Like, nothing to play for. It's so dumb.
I think it's really dumb. I think it's nothing to play for. But when people say nothing to play for, I think they're saying nothing to play for me.
Right.
Like, for themselves, not with respect to the actual players. And you know what you also get with the bowl game? You get the extra practice. And the extra practice, you can sit your starters. You can let the second string, third string, you can let your walk-ons, your freshmen, you can let all those guys get to play. And as those guys get to play, now you get to see what you're looking for going into spring. And you can court those guys to make sure they stay. And I think that's the most important part of this. It's great to go to a bowl game. It's great to get per diem. It's great to get a ring. It's great to do all this stuff. But courting those guys to stay, I think that's something that Clemson's been very good at. Courting those guys to stay is important.
We'll get through this Halloween. That's a challenge football game. And no candy corn, man. No candy corn, please.
I love candy corn.
Holy crap. You're the one.
Yeah. Listen, don't buy it. Don't buy it.
Oh, really? You want clearance candy corn?
I want it all. I'm going. I will buy it. I will buy it over the weekend. I will buy candy corn over the weekend when it's on sale, when it's like 1 cent. Oh, I'm going to stock up.
Yeah, you don't have to buy it over the weekend. It'll be there 3 weeks from now.
Good. Fantastic.
Yeah. All right, Mike. I'll see you, buddy. There he is, college football expert Michael Felder. You can find him on Twitter at In the Bleachers. He does podcasts for Learfield, Hand in the Dirt. Coming up next, 60 minutes of Running Rebel Talk as the debut of the Josh Pastner Radio Show live from New Orleans at Bailiwick is on the way right here on ESPN Las Vegas.